Okay, before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly Book, it's page 458, the first full paragraph. If you're reading from the second edition, it's page 406, paragraph 10. In the first edition, it's page 378, the third full paragraph. And in the JCIM edition, it's page 191, the sixth full paragraph. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 385, paragraph 35. Okay, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening, and welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. Before we continue, I want to share something. In the last few weeks, I've been rather pushy regarding the practice of the holy instant, the practice of the two-step. And in some ways, it might seem that I'm calling for everyone to engage in a formidable endeavor that might be impossible Or if you succeed once, it might be impossible to have it happen again. And I need to share with everyone something that I shared with Paul early on in our relationship, shortly after we had had our first conversations. I pointed out to him, because even after the first conversation, it was sometimes difficult for him to engage again and have the experience. I explained to him that whenever he or anyone reaches out to their guide, or reaches out to the Holy Spirit, or reaches out to the Father, there is always a response. One should never have the feeling that they are engaging in this activity all by themselves, overcoming something deeply ingrained in them that it's almost impossible to get past. And it's not true. The Holy Spirit and your guide, and indeed the Father, always have their eyes on you, always hold you in their attention. I've mentioned before that everyone's in the middle of the kingdom of heaven, but they're not seeing it because their eyes are all squinched up. And they're saying, I cannot see the perfection. And in a way, it's like all of you are sleeping on a grassy knoll. And I've shared this before. And we watch. We are attentive for the first stirrings, for the first beginnings of your bringing your attention beyond the limits of the sleeping dream. And the moment any of you become restive or minimally attentive, we respond to help facilitate further awakening. You should always feel or feel into the feeling of being attended to, of being paid attention to, of being embraced in an ever-present, eternal love, which stands in support of your transforming consciousness. You are loved. And the minute any of you abandon your preoccupation with your dilemmas and reach beyond your present sense of things, you are responded to. Know this, so that as you engage in practicing the two-step and the holy instant, you might know, even though it's an intellectual knowing, that at the same time, your guide, the Holy Spirit, the Father, is intent on meeting you from the other side of whatever blocks the communication. Your attempt is never a solo attempt. Know this. Embrace it as a fact, so that you might, when you reach out, know that something, someone is reaching out to you with an eternal love devoted to you and your waking up. It's important to know this. Now, I share this because as we go into the book tonight, you'll see that it says, in the holy instant, you will see the smile of heaven shining on both of you, you and the one that you're in a holy relationship with. You and the one you have decided to use as the reason for your abandoning your definitions of him or her. You're abandoning his or her definitions of himself or herself. Reaching beyond the imaginary self that you have thought you were and you have thought they were, with the intent of gathering your information about yourself and your brother from a source other than your puny little mind. Now, when you do that, and when you have the experience of the influx of inspiration, where you are seeing and experiencing the truth about your brother or sister, you feel the smile of heaven. There's no other words for it. Now, very early on, shortly before Paul's first conversation with me, he had an experience that can best be called illumination. He was at a friend's house. The friend was rather wealthy, and so the place she lived was very nice. And there was, on the walls in the living room, beautiful flocked wallpaper. And all the appointments in the room were equally beautiful. And suddenly, it is as though all of the definitions he had embraced melted. Nothing happened to the room or anything in it, but his way of perceiving it changed. Suddenly, he became aware that the walls and the wallpaper and everything else in the room was alive, in a state of, you might say, stationary flux, because it was living, but it was actively being the flocked wallpaper, or actively being the furniture, or actively being the space between him and the wallpaper or the furniture, that it was all living, and the substance of it was love. The substance of the wallpaper and the flocking and the design and everything else was love. And everything was loving him. He was having a conscious experience of substance as spirit instead of matter. Now, I share this because you're likely to think that when you say, "Father, what is the truth here?" or "Holy Spirit, what is the truth here?" that you are going to get an intellectual explanation of it rather than an experience of it. And to help you broaden the context in which you listen for the answer to what is the truth here, I want you to consider that the answer will be an experience of meaning, not an explanation. If, before Paul had this experience of illumination, he had said, "Father, what is the truth about this flocked wallpaper?" he might have expected an answer that would have to do with design and what the flocking was made out of and what developments had taken place that allowed for such beautiful workmanship, and blah, blah, blah. But the answer to what is the truth about the wallpaper was, it is living love that is loving you. Now, the fact is that when Paul was having this experience, he found himself loving the wallpaper and loving everything else. So it was a circular give and take, you might say, a circular sharing of love. Don't look for an explanation of truth about objects. What is the truth about my partner? What is the truth about this child? What is the truth about this plant that is withering? You see, the truth is the meaning. The meaning. If you look for an explanation, you're likely to miss the answer as to what the truth is, you see? So don't be so sure that you know what the form of truth about anything will be. Except that I will tell you that it will always involve the experience of meaning. Little did Paul know that the meaning of the wallpaper, or the meaning of everything in the room, was not only love, but love loving him, meaning that everything was conscious of him, not just an inanimate material substance, but an active exchange of living love. Who would have thunk? You see, who would have thought that that might be the answer, or the kind of answer one might get when one asks, what is the truth here? You see, the Father expresses himself as infinite meaning. And what you want is not an understanding of the meaning of something, like a definition, but you want the experience of the meaning, which you will have to add words to afterwards. You see? Because you've had the experience of the meaning. You've had the experience of the truth. And in having the experience of the truth, you understand the wallpaper, and you understand yourself. And you understand that the wallpaper and you are a movement of love expressed and acknowledging. The giving and the receiving. It is a wholeness. And indeed, one could call it the smile of heaven. So, keep this in mind. In the holy instant, you will see the smile. You will experience, feel the meaning of the smile of heaven shining on both of you. And you will shine upon each other in glad acknowledgement of the grace that has been given you. So first of all, when you're reaching out by means of the holy instant, you're not reaching out by yourself. At the same time, the Holy Spirit or your guide is reaching out to you to, for lack of better words, complete the connection. It's a mutual endeavor. For sin will not prevail against a union heaven has smiled upon. I promise you. In the experience of the smile of heaven, in the experience of the substance of everything being love, in the experience of it being the direct expression of God, there simply is no room for sin, for a desire to imagine what things really are all by yourself and make it up and make it be true. It's simply not there. The contest is over while it's happening. The need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps is over, because you're experiencing the meaning. And again, I point this out because if you are looking for an explanation, you will miss the meaning. If you don't miss the meaning, you won't need an explanation, and it will be left to you afterwards to find a way to explain it to someone else. You see how non-essential the explanation is? You want the experience that requires a new explanation. Or perhaps none at all, because your very being communicates the meaning to whomever you are with. Sin will not prevail against a union heaven has smiled upon. Your perception was healed in the holy instant heaven gave you. Paul's perception of the wallpaper was healed in the holy instant heaven gave him. There was another realization that occurred while Paul was having this experience, and that was that if the walls of that beautiful home had been papered with tar paper, it would have been as lovely. It would have been as impactful, because the substance of it would have been love, loving him. And let's clarify it further. It's divine love, loving him, and loving everything else. And so it doesn't matter what the material is or what the design might be, because the very substance of everything is divine love. And so the definition of beauty changes. There is nothing quite so exquisite as tar paper. When it is seen through the eyes of love, and its substance as love is recognized. And so, flocked paper is not preferable to tar paper. Either one can be used for any purpose, and the fullness of the gift of God will be present there, because you won't be seeing definitions. You'll be seeing the meaning of the impulse of love expressed, the presence of God. Forget what you have seen. When you have this experience, forget what you have seen and raise your eyes in faith to what you now can see. Now, in the rush of the first moments of the experience. And there's no alternative you're interested in. But as time seems to pass, let us say over the next 24 hours, the vision, you might say, fades because circumstances, seen through habit, seem to call upon you to respond in the old way. But it says, forget what you have seen and raise your eyes in faith to what you now can see. The barriers to heaven will disappear before your holy sight. For you who were sightless, you who looked at flocked wallpaper and just saw flocked wallpaper, those of you who looked at tar paper and just saw tar paper, have been given vision. And you can see. This is important, because this is all part and parcel of the practice of the holy instant and the fruits of the holy instant. Just be with that for a moment. Look not for what has been removed, but for the glory that has been restored for you to see. Glory that had been there all along has been restored for you to see by virtue of your vision being restored. And your vision has been restored because you've been willing to withdraw the definitions you have created, and you have been willing to do that because you're willing to abandon the goal of making yourself real on your own by virtue of the definitions you create. It's simple. It's beautiful. The way in which to feel the unending, undying, ever-present love that you're embraced by is to relax, is to become still, to abandon your very conscious, willful intent, so that you might, in the peace of your being, yield to the movement of God, so that you are moving, but you're not directing the move. And the movement isn't being engaged in to gain status, prestige, wealth, or anything else at your own hand. Continuing, look upon your Redeemer. Look upon your Redeemer. Well, your Redeemer is the truth, isn't it? Look upon the truth that is revealed. But also look upon the Holy Spirit, which is your Redeemer. The Holy Spirit truly being nothing more than your right mind, your sanity. Look upon your Redeemer and behold what he would show you in each other. Be willing to look at the partner. Be willing to look at the wallpaper. Be willing to look at the furnishings. And be willing to see what's shown to you by virtue of the holy instant occurring. You see? The holy instant, which is the action of the Holy Spirit, and you in your attentiveness, gifts you with what you aren't expecting. And you don't have to make up the gift. You don't have to figure out what the gift is. Why? Because the intent to love you into your sanity is ever present and working with you and loving you for the purpose of renewing and transforming your mind. It's not something you're doing all by yourself. And it's not something you should try to do all by yourself. You certainly have to participate. But you don't have to do it all by yourself. Period. Look upon your Redeemer and behold what he would show you in each other, and let not sin arise again to blind your eyes. What do you mean, let not sin rise again? Let not the intent to see by yourself as an independent agent, an orphan, coming to conclusions through the use of imagination and not truth. Let that not blind your eyes again. For sin, that attempt, would keep you separate, but your Redeemer would have you look upon each other as yourself. As yourself. Oh, imagine if flocked wallpaper can provide an exquisite experience of the expression of love, what might it be if you're looking at your partner and letting God's meaning about your partner register with you? And can you imagine what your partner would feel like when you have felt the meaning and your behavior changes and your very presence communicates that kind of love, that kind of innocence, that absence of self-protection that removes all barriers from your partner's mind as he or she relates to you in your new vision. Your relationship is now a temple of healing, a place where all the weary ones can come and find rest. Here is the rest that waits for all after the journey. And it is brought nearer to all by your relationship, meaning your new relationship, the one in which your partner and the wallpaper and the tar paper are all the divine presence of love, loving, and revealing to you within you that same love shared with the partner, the wallpaper, the tar paper, etc. A unity there. As this peace extends from deep inside yourselves to embrace all the sonship and give it rest, it will encounter many obstacles. You knew there was going to be a hook there somewhere, didn't you? Yeah. As this peace extends from deep inside yourselves to embrace all the sonship and give it rest, it will encounter many obstacles. Yeah, the work's not over yet. Well, don't be so quick to jump to conclusions. It's an easy way to say, without investigating the experience, that it's not really worth trying. It's going to be too much work. It's not natural to you. Well, it's the most natural thing to you in the universe. It's the most natural thing to you in the mind of God. As this peace extends from deep inside yourselves to embrace all the shunts, the sonship, and give it rest, it will encounter many obstacles. Some of them you will try to impose, you see. At times, it will seem easy to slip back into your habitual definitions and your habitual responses, even though it's impossible for you to forget what the wallpaper really is, you see, or the tar paper, or the furniture. Others will seem to arise from elsewhere, other obstacles, from your brothers, and from various aspects of the world outside. Yet, here it is, peace will gently cover them, extending past completely unhindered. You see? The new vision will allow you to relate to everything other than the flocked wallpaper or the tar paper or the furniture in that particular room. It will extend past that to everything without the hindrance that you might expect, which I promise you will be a relief and will inspire you to persist in asking to know what the truth is here, what the truth is there, being open to the experience of its divine meaning. The extension of the Holy Spirit's purpose from your relationship to others to bring them gently in will quietly extend to every aspect of your lives, surrounding both of you with glowing happiness and the calm awareness of complete protection. This is part of the gift. This is part of the smile of heaven. It's unavoidable. It's simply there. It's provided. It is the fruits of the holy instant. And you will carry its message of love and safety and freedom to everyone who draws nigh unto your temple, where healing waits for him. Draws nigh unto your temple. Wow. Your temple is your enlivened, and unfragmented recognition of love, acknowledgement of it, and return of it through your participation, which you will discover your very being has always been engaged in, even though you saw yourselves as separate, independent, and unconnected. The truth of you has never stopped, but you've missed it. And the truth of everything, as the evidence of the kingdom of heaven, has never stopped. and the constant infinite love that it is embracing all of creation in hasn't stopped, even though you've missed it. You will not wait to give him this healing. You will not wait to recognize the meaning in him, because this becomes, you might say, your new purpose or your new interest. It will be more interesting to you to learn the truth, to experience the capital M meaning of everything, than it had been for you to engage in trying to become something in your own right, all by yourself, as something which had no source other than a physical action called a Big Bang and evolution. So you will not wait to give him this healing, for you will call to him and he will answer you, recognizing in your call the call of God. Now I'll tell you something. That doesn't mean you're going to be talking about God. It doesn't mean that you'll start teaching religion or become a minister of ideas, of thoughts, of definitions, of words. But your very being will be the undeniable communication of love, which others will recognize and find attractive, unless they are still absolutely intent upon using their drug of choice and not giving up their fruitless goal quite yet. But even at that, you'll be able to see that they're not just tar paper like they think they are. They're tar paper, the living love of God. Beautiful because of the nature of love. Not the apparent physical substance of which it's made, you see? And you will draw him in and give him rest as it was given you. You will draw him in as I draw you in, and you will give him rest as I give you rest. And he will take it or not take it as it is given, just as you take it or don't take it as it is given. But you will not be discouraged, because you can't forget that he's not just tar paper. Or you can't forget that she's not just flocked wallpaper, but that both are the presence of God, full of meaning, divine meaning, the smile of heaven. All this will you do, just as I'm doing it with you. Yet the peace which already lies deeply within must first expand and flow across the obstacles you placed before it. Transformation. Allowance of transformation. The withholding of resentment because you're having to let go of what you thought was valuable. The withdrawal of anger because what you thought was true isn't true, wasn't true. And you will say, you were misled. It's not fair. Until you give up and feel the unction of love that you're being embraced by, so that it might illuminate in you the love that you are giving back, because there is nothing else to share in light of the real meaning of everything. This will you do. For nothing undertaken with the Holy Spirit remains unfinished. You see? Ah, the experience of the holy instant, the smile of heaven. May waver because your attention shifts. But the gift of the Holy Spirit changes you forever and does not allow you to go back to the level of ignorance that you had achieved before. And the truth that has dawned on you, the experience of the meaning of creation that you have had, will simply widen the road into a highway that it will be impossible for you to resist, because you will want to experience the whole thing. You can indeed be sure of nothing you see outside you. But of this you can be sure. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer Him a resting place where you will rest in Him. It's like, let the wallpaper be the love that it is, so that you can be the love that you are. He answered you and entered your relationship when you did the two-step. When you did the two-step for the specific purpose of wanting to know the truth about your brother, your sister, adjoining, in which you have committed to not introducing any made-up definitions from your puny imagination. Would you not now return His graciousness and enter into a relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing but your right mind, which you hadn't been recognizing as your own right mind? Would you not now return His graciousness and enter into a relationship with Him, so that you're not saying, "Oh, the Holy Spirit, sure, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then there's me." That's not being in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Being in relationship with the Holy Spirit is where you let the Holy Spirit infill you and rule out of you all self-will. All will that does not arise out of the act of God, the movement of God, being itself. Would you not now return His graciousness and enter into a relationship with Him? For it is He who offered your relationship the gift of holiness, the relationship you have with your partner, your sister, your brother. For it is He who offered your relationship the gift of holiness, without which it would have been forever impossible to appreciate each other. Without that experience Paul had, it would have been forever impossible for him to know how a wall papered with tar paper could be as exquisite as a wall papered with flocked wallpaper. because it's the meaning that the wall was papered with. No matter what form the meaning took. The gratitude you owe to him, the Holy Spirit, your right mind, he asks, but that you receive for him. In other words, abandon the barrier, abandon the definitions of difference that keep you from grasping and experiencing the meaning of the oneness of you and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. And when you look with gentle graciousness upon each other, you are beholding him. For you are looking where he is and not apart from him. And I would add that you're looking with him. It is as though you have put on the Holy Spirit like glasses, and you are seeing everything with him. For you are looking where he is and not apart from him. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly, instead of ignorantly, instead of privately, through definitions you and your brother have made up about each other. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. And the light in them will show you all that you need to see. The love in the wallpaper, the love in the tar paper will show you all that you need to see. The meaning in each other, the meaning in the wallpaper, the meaning in the tar paper will show you all that you need to see. When the peace in you has been extended to encompass everyone, which will become easier and easier as you abide in this experience of meaning, the Holy Spirit's function here will be accomplished. Meaning what? The Holy Spirit's function of returning you to your right mind will have been accomplished. What need is there for seeing, then? In other words, seeing definitions, seeing strings of words, explanations, seeing concepts and beliefs. What need is there for that, then? When God has taken the last step himself, the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, will gather all your thanks and gratitude which you have offered him and lay them gently before his Creator in the name of his most holy Son, you. He will lay before the Father the union between you and the Holy Spirit that has occurred. The Holy Spirit will present you to the Father in your sanity, with a capital S. And the Father will accept them in his name. He will own you. He will say, welcome, son. Welcome, daughter. Welcome, you who know who you are, because you know who I am. And your birthright has been restored to you. Your full conscious sanity has been restored to you. What need is there of seeing in the presence of his gratitude? What need is there for The concept of tar-papered shacks. When tar paper as living love is the meaning you are filled with, you see? So the experience of the meaning of a tar-papered shack and a village of tar-papered shacks could be a castle and a kingdom. Of most profound, profound meaning, holiness, all that the word opulence could mean. I'm not going to say think about it. I'm going to say be with this during this coming week. And let your every request to know what is the truth here be made with an understanding that what you're looking for is the meaning, the holy meaning of whatever it is you're inquiring about, and that the meaning will be an experience, a wordless, definitionless experience in which nothing is withheld as to its full meaning. Not having the words, not having the definitions, not having the concepts, will not cause you to miss one iota of the divine meaning of the thing that you've inquired about. And then, as I said, you will have to look for the words. And you might even find that you won't spend too much time trying to find the words, because you would rather experience the meaning and be with your brothers and sisters and the world from the experience of the meaning, and let that lead you to whatever actions it leads you. I love you. I love you all, and I look forward to being with you next time.